If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.
Yes, people, it is Ted Lawlor, aka Mr. IOTK from If Only They Knew, the hub for young business minds. In this podcast, we speak to accountability coach Greg Santos, who comes from the USA, and he speaks about the journey of self-development, psychedelics, and even gives us an insider's perspective of what a Tony Robbins event is really like. If you're looking to better yourself, this is the podcast for you. For everyone listening, do you mind telling us a bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure thing. So yeah, what's going on, everybody? My name is Greg Santos, obviously. And I was coming into personal development about 6 years ago. I was going through a massive depression. You know, girlfriend was cheating on me. I felt like I can fix her. I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life, and just got really fortunate to have a mentor to kind of guide me down this path. And what ended up happening was my mind was just completely opened up, because I came from a household that had domestic violence. My dad went to prison 4 times. My mom didn't graduate from high school. My favorite uncle is, you literally snort cocaine in my living room growing up. Being called the N-word in school. 1 out of 3 or 4 black kids at my middle school. 1 out of 3 or 4 black kids in my high school. I was way too afraid to stand up for myself. And just the accumulation of all of that led to a really big depression when I was smoking weed, watching anime every single day. I was watching the show called One Piece, had 750 episodes, and I watched all of them. I caught up. So when I first got into personal development, it was fantastic, man. It blew my mind. I was listening to Tony Robbins' Personal Power 2 tapes, and I just went all in. So I went to Tony Robbins' Unleash the Power Within. I went to his Date with Destiny. I worked his Unleash the Power Within. I saw Grant Cardone. I seen Brendon Burchard. I paid for programs. I went to sensory deprivation tanks. I did yoga, jujitsu. I did everything I possibly can to get better. But the biggest reason why I wanted to do that while I was doing all that is because I had this crazy anxiety inside myself. I didn't feel comfortable with myself. I was terrified to talk to girls. I was really afraid of men as well, because especially strong men, you know, just representative of my dad. And I was just, you know, I had a lot of fear around that. And I wanted to feel better about myself. I wanted to, the word I would use all the time was like, I want to feel confident. I just want to be confident in myself. And that's what I was searching for. And what would happen is I go to event after event and I feel so excited because I'm learning a tremendous amount of stuff. And I would go to this event or invest in a program or course. And then I find myself back to where I was just a couple of weeks before. Like that excitement would die down and I'd slip back into my old habits. And that kept happening over and over and over and over and over again. It took someone else to actually point that out, that I was in this loop. There's someone that I really respected. I was in this loop where I was like, oh, really? And I stayed enthusiastic because I felt like there was some information out there that I just didn't know. There's just, just some more information. I know there's some, just a little bit more information that is going to just change everything for me. It's going to completely transform my life. And I just kept searching for that little bit. I know it's out there somewhere. And I remember when I turned 23 years old, I it was the first birthday I ever had where I wasn't happy that I got older. I felt like, whoa, this whole time I've been procrastinating on actually taking action. I can't get myself to make action permanent. And I just felt really down about that. And I remember I went into my brother-in-law's office. My brother-in-law is the CEO of a digital marketing company. It was on my birthday, 23rd birthday. And I remember he was in his doorway. And I was happy because, you know, I know his employees and they were wishing me happy birthday, which was awesome. And I see him and he gives me a blank face. And I'm like, oh, he must not remember that today's my birthday. And I said, like, what's up, man? And he just looks at me and he goes, this is the year of implementation, right?
Oh, I'm like, no.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It is. So then I was like, all right, how do I make action taking permanent? How do I make this to where like I go to an event and I actually apply it, but not only just apply it, but I apply it for a long period of time because I keep fizzling out and I can't figure out how to keep this going. So I found somebody who had the results that I wanted. You know, Tony Robbins says, if you want to have, you know, specific results, the best thing you can do is find someone who has those results and figure out a way to be around that person and learn from that person. So I found a coach. And it was like $2,700 for a weekend of coaching. Wow. And I changed my job. I worked super hard, 50-hour weeks, working in sales, going just berserk. There's like so many days where I was just mentally beat up, but I finally was able to do it. And that boot camp really just transformed my life. Today, I've been waking up since at 4 o'clock in the morning, since September 30th, 2019, every single day.
Wow.
Over 350 days of meditation, 300 days of writing down my goals every single day. A year and a half, every single time I take a shower, I make sure it's a cold shower at the end. I've been taking 3-minute cold showers now for 11 months.
Damn.
And, just been incredible, man. I have an amazing network of like young, ambitious entrepreneur friends, and we get better together. But the beautiful thing is, it's like, now I know that if I say I'm going to do something, I know I'm going to follow through and finish it. And that is very liberating for me. So that's a little bit about who I am and a little bit about my backstory.
Damn, son. I love it, mate. This is exactly what I wanted you on. When you reached out, like I said, just before we started recording, I knew you was the guy to come on and start off this season 2 of a bang. So thank you for that. There's so much to unpack there. But if you don't mind, I always sort of like to rewind the clocks a little bit and dive a little bit deeper into the backstory of a person to understand who they are truly today. And especially in your case, you have such an interesting background. Like you said, obviously the stuff about prison, drugs, the abuse, just the, I guess, like the pure pain and trauma that you would have experienced. So if you don't mind going a little bit deeper into that, like what was that like? Because I heard your dad was a Crip. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So wow. I grew up in a household that had domestic violence. My dad is a Crip, present tense, only Hispanic in his gang.
Wow.
He went to prison 4 times. Again, my mom didn't graduate from high school. Favorite uncle used to literally snort cocaine in my living room growing up. And I didn't have, you know, great role models. When I was growing up in East LA, I remember I was on the playground. We were playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And just out of nowhere, the game stops. And I remember this one kid just came up to me like on half court and just pushed me. And he just called me a fucking nigger. And I remember just like freezing. And everybody's watching me like, what are you going to do? And I was so afraid. I didn't do anything. I just backed down. I was too afraid to stand up for myself. Wow. And I remember when I was in high school that I always wanted to be liked. I had this big feeling in my body. Like I just want to be liked by people. I just want validation. I want to feel good about myself. Mm. And I remember I was at a party with this guy or like with this group that I really wanted to be accepted in. And I remember I really looked up to the leader of that group. And I remember we were in the garage and we were smoking weed. And I remember he goes, you know what, Greg, you're a nigger. You're not even like the cool ones. You're not even like a nigga. And I remember that tore me apart.
Yeah.
And I remember I was fake laughing, man, because I really wanted to be liked by these people and people were laughing. And my self-esteem was so low that I wanted to be liked so bad, but people were actively disrespecting me to my face. And that was really rough. And then after I graduated from high school, I went to community college. A lot of my friends, they were going to universities. They're posting pictures of them in their dorms, having a fantastic time. And I was, as I mentioned, man, I was going through a breakup with this girl who I saw her cheat on me, like in person at a party. No. It was like, and like face to face, like, I was like right there. I saw it. That was tough. It took a couple of years to get over that one, but I'm good now.
It's so direct, isn't it? Everything you're experiencing is like straight in your face. It isn't like you're hearing stuff like in rumors or in the background. It's literally just like boom, right in front of you to your face. That must be soul shattering almost.
Oh yeah, man. It was like one thing after another. And then I remember I always had this happy clown kind of persona. I was always like the happy guy, right? Because that's how I coped with the discomfort, like ease the tension through humor. And I always had this image that I try to uphold, that I don't get mad, I don't get frustrated or sad. Even if I did feel those emotions, I always try to mask it with happiness. And one night I just hit my bottom. And I was like, I got to tell somebody about this. I have to tell somebody because I don't know what to do. I'm really depressed. So I remember I was in my sister's kitchen and I was sitting on her cold leather bench that she has, you know, with a dinner table, and she's cooking up some food. You can smell like the garlic cooking and just the aroma in the air. And I remember just being so nervous to tell her. And I said, hey, you know, I'm depressed. And I was so afraid to say that. And I remember she looked at me with eyes of empathy. And she's like, well, what's going on? And I told her everything. And I said, I'm thinking about asking my brother-in-law for those motivational tapes that he plays. And I remember he walked in the door and I was so nervous to ask him for them, but I asked him for them. And I remember driving home in great desperation the night for a change in my life. And I remember I popped in that CD and then the 90s music plays. And then you just hear, hey, I'm Tony Robbins and welcome to Personal Power 2. You're about to embark on this journey. And the rest is history, man. That was 7 years ago. And wow, my life has just changed dramatically because of that.
Yeah, that's insane. And am I right in saying also that you wanted to be like like you said, you had that sort of comedic element in you, that joker, that jester. You wanted to sort of almost, like you said, portray that funny guy. Yeah. So all the bad stuff would reflect off of you. And I think that is sort of a common characteristic of those that go through trauma. They always try to attach themselves to another persona, just like you said. So then that way, any sort of negative stuff that comes towards them, they can say, oh, it doesn't matter, like I'm the joker, I always laugh at stuff. And like you said, deep down inside, it's sort of breaking you. But on that, I think when you go through such a traumatic experience like that over time, like you said, directly face to face, like soul destroying stuff, I think over time, if you learn to deal with that, it actually makes you a so much stronger person. And you are a living proof of that.
Thank you, man. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of diving in deep. You know, it really started because I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. And yeah, he would talk about sensory deprivation tanks and just talk about like having like a psychedelic experience to them. And I've never done psychedelics up to that point. I was like, well, I don't know how to get a hold of these, so I'm going to go into the sensory deprivation tanks that he's talking about. And I remember when I went in there, things started coming. For those that don't know what a sensory deprivation tank is, it's like you're in like the salt water. So you're floating. The salt water is the same temperature as your skin. It's completely pitch black. There's no music or anything like that. And you're just lying down floating for 60 to 90 minutes. And during that time, all of these thoughts that you've been suppressing or, you know, throughout your life, you know, arise. And you can't run from them. You just like, oh wait, like that's been bothering me. And then you work through them and you're able to observe them without judging them. And I've done a lot of healing. I've gone to sensory deprivation tanks over 20 times. Wow. I also have done my fair share of psychedelics as well. That was really essential for my healing. I don't recommend people just go try them. If you feel a calling to them, hey, I suggest you do your research and make your own decision. But for me, it made sense for me and what I wanted. So that was big for my healing.
I am interested in that. I know sometimes on most other podcasts, as soon as you say psychedelics, they're probably like, cut. But on this, I'd like to dive a little bit deeper just into that. What was you doing? Because I know a lot of people out there listening to this, they may actually be interested in doing their own research, like you said, which I would also highly suggest as well. Don't dive straight into it. But what, if you don't mind, can you tell us some of the stuff that you was doing? Was it DMT? Was it the toad? Was it mushrooms? What was it?
Beautiful, man. And I'm glad because this is like a big thing that it's like really close to my heart. Like psychedelics really just was a big catalyst for me in my life on top of the personal development stuff. So I first did LSD. It was the first one I did in January of 2017. And I'll never forget. I remember I went with my best friend at the time. And I remember I was in the backseat for we had a babysitter, someone who was watching over us. And I remember looking at myself from the third person. I remember myself going to the gym. I remember seeing myself in the corner of a room walking into my buddy's house. And I remember like seeing myself like how I go through my life. And I remember just having this feeling like, you are not happy. You're not happy. And then I started thinking like, well, like, who is it that I want to be? Like, what kind of person do I want to be? How do I want to be seen when I walk into a room? How do I want to carry myself when I go somewhere? What do I want out of life? And I remember I just imagined like the kind of person that I want to be like. And I remember I had this like really soul crushing realization where it said, I remember I was lying there thinking and the realization that came to my mind, I was like, all right, well, if you want all of that, you have to stop hanging out with your best friend. And my best friend was in the passenger seat of the car I was in, and he was also taking it with me. And that was like, what? Like, and it was like, you're so right. You're so right. Like, I have to stop hanging out with this guy. And I love him to death. And I had to have many conversations with people that I love to like talk this through. I'm like, maybe I can help him. Maybe I can do this. But like there was, he didn't want to change, you know, and I wanted more. And that was one of the most difficult things I had to do is just stop hanging out with him. So that was a big one. And then I've done mushrooms. Mushrooms have been great. I personally like LSD more than mushrooms. I've done DMT as well. It's a funny story. I went back to community college to learn more about psychedelics. Really, no. I took a class in community college about drugs, right? And psychedelics was part of it. And I remember the class course is like 16 weeks. I remember psychedelics were like week 12. So I was hoping it'd be like week 2 and I can like just drop it, but I had to go through the whole class to get to week 12. But I remember in class, there was this guy who kept talking. Like he would talk about, like he was just one of those active students and he was a cool dude. Mm-hmm. And I remember on week 11, my professor's like, all right, we're gonna talk about psychedelics next week. I remember the guy in the back, he goes, are you gonna talk about DMT? And I was like, oh, DMT, okay. So I'm like, oh, we have a fellow Joe Rogan, you know, fan in here. So after class, I go up to him, I said, hey, like, yeah, that's cool. You talk about DMT, like you listen to Joe Rogan? He's like, yeah, I listen to Joe Rogan. I'm like, have you done DMT before? He goes, he looks at me and goes, fuck yeah, I have. I'm like, really? Like, where did you get it? I'm thinking about going to Burning Man. Like, how did you do that? And then he's like, he goes, I make it. I'm like, this is some Breaking Bad shit here. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, how do you make it? And he starts going into like all the science behind it. He's like, oh, I have this and I do that and I blah, 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 this, all that. I was like, what the hell? So then I remember, I was like, well, you know, I really want to try it. And he's like, okay, well, let me know. I gave him my phone number, and then I remember I drove home that night, and then he calls me up like that same night. He's like, hey man, do you want to do it tonight? I'm like, yeah. I'll be there. Yeah. met the guy like 30 minutes ago. But it was interesting. That was a very interesting experience. But yeah, I've done.
I can see in your eyes, for those watching this on YouTube and can see the video, Greg, mate, your eyes are like just staring into the distance. I know for a fact you've seen some deep stuff whilst on these trips. I can tell your eyes are like glistening. You're looking off in the distance. I can see it's all just flooding back to you. So yeah, how impactful were some of those trips, especially like we're talking about today in terms of sort of that self-development and learning stuff about yourself and changing yourself?
Yeah, you see, the thing is we have so many things that happen to us in our life and we don't fully process a lot of the things, because if you think about it on a day-to-day basis, we're just constantly just filled with so many distractions. Mm-hmm. We have so much things thrown at us, you know, like social media is so addictive. Like we can't help, but as soon as we open our eyes, it's like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, like, let me catch up. And then after that, it's like, oh, let me watch the news. What's going on in the news? What are they talking about with what's going on with the pandemic and all these different things. And then it's like, after that, it's like, oh, you're feeling uncomfortable. You might watch TV, you might watch some porn, or you might watch, you just go through your whole life distracting yourself. And one thing that's really difficult to do is to just sit with yourself and to process a lot of the things, because we all go through tough times in our life. Like all of us do. We have so many things that haven't been processed and we don't even realize that these things are having an effect on us. We have no idea. Like it's kind of like the refrigerator hum, right? It's always in the background, but we never pay attention to it. We don't hear it most of the time, but it's always there. That's the same thing with your trauma. And psychedelics really made me go back and visit that and process that, and to look at really traumatic things that happened in my life and thinking, oh, that's why I behave this way. That's why when my relationships, I'm like this. Oh, because I can point it back to a specific moment. And the thing is, those moments are so scary to go back to, like consciously. What psychedelics had allowed me to do was revisit those memories, but from a non-judgmental and a non-emotional standpoint. Now I'm able to look at it and be like, oh man, yeah, that happened. And then I'm able to, you know, process it with more love and to be able to accept it. And then part of me heals. Now I'm able to go through my life like a little bit more healed and, you know, lighter, and not trying to feel so guilty about this thing or feel like so much emotion towards a specific event that's still having an effect on how I deal my relationships, on how I go about certain things. Maybe I'm trying to protect myself because of one thing that happened to me 5-10 years ago in a random instance. And those things carry on with us. So psychedelics really helps you alleviate that and let go of that. And so you can go into your days where you don't feel so much resentment. You don't feel so much anger. You can go into the days with so much more love. And I still have some more to do. I'm actually planning an ayahuasca ceremony. I've never done ayahuasca. I really want to, but I'm looking to go down to Costa Rica and doing that really soon.
That would definitely be intense, because if I'm right, that's a lot more of a long-winded sort of process, isn't it? You can sort of dive a bit more deeper and stay deeper for a lot longer. One thing I wanted to point out that really struck me during that bit was I've been thinking about this a lot lately as well. So it's a coincidence that you say it, but it's almost about destroying or subduing your ego. And I guess that's what you touched on there, sort of being able to go back on your thoughts and your memories and deal with them, like you said, from a non-judgmental standpoint, rather than going back and saying, yeah, I did do that when I was 15, but he was in the wrong and she shouldn't have been there and blah, blah, blah. I guess what you're saying is destroy the ego, it helps with psychedelics, I guess, but whether you do it with drugs or not, destroy your ego, look back and stuff and say, okay, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? What could I have changed? Stuff like that.
Absolutely, man. You know, because like the thing is, you see something, a situation where you feel emotionally charged by it, like you feel anger, resentment, or sad or whatever it is. And it's like this big old ball of energy that's like in the back of your mind that you suppress. It's kind of like a basketball that you put underwater and it just wants to come up, but you just keep forcing it down. It takes a lot of energy to force it down and you're keeping it down there, but it wants to surface. And it's not like ignoring it is going to make it go away. Like, it's still there. And what the ego wants to do is the ego wants to compare. The ego wants to make ourselves feel right. The ego wants to be like, I'm superior. It's me. And then there's others. People don't understand me. I'm different. And the ego thrives off that. The ego thrives off of pride. And the thing is, like, you're not going to have massive success through having tremendous amount of pride. You're not going to have massive success by hurting other people. Like, what success does boil down to, utilizing the people that are around you, giving as much value you possibly can, giving them as much love, helping other people out, and also receiving that as well. But it's hard to do that when you're so hurt by past experiences that you haven't processed yet. And to be able to look at that, like, okay, where was I in the wrong on that? How did I help contribute to that situation? Or what was so out of my control that I couldn't do anything anyway? Can I forgive myself for that? Can I revisit that? And it's so scary to go revisit that, you know, because I told you, man, I came from a household that had domestic violence. You know how challenging it is to go back to relive those memories of my dad attacking my mom and see, like, and being powerless as a kid, like 6-7 years old. And I'm so weak and there's nothing I can possibly do to stop what's going on. And to go back in my mind and just, I even right now, even I close my eyes and I imagine it, like, I still felt like in my heart. So I still have some work I got to do in there, right? And there's still some healing I got to do. And I feel like the ayahuasca is going to really help me out with that. But it's, there's no way you're going to make a tremendous amount of progress without doing what's hard. And I think one of the hardest things you can do is accept, like, it, like, if I'm going to do this, like, it's up to me. If I'm going to be successful, it's up to me. If I'm going to live a happier life, it's up to me. And the only way to do that is I got to make sure I process the things that are anchors in my life so I can just be free of that and live more happy throughout my life. And I can enjoy my work more and I can be more engaged in life. I can give more to those I love, you know. And here's another thing. I've been so focused on results. Like, I want this, right? Which is awesome. You should have goals that you're working towards, but you don't have to suffer your entire way to get to your goal. Like, you can enjoy your life. You can be engaged in your work. You can enjoy your work. You know, there's going to be tough times. You have to be disciplined and there's things you're not going to want to do. But for the most part, only thing that can exist is right now. And this is right now is the playing field by which you live your life by. And why would I want to spend so many days just hating and not liking my life? Why can't I just like my life, enjoy my life, and also work towards my goals? And just feel like I'm enjoying the entire journey of it. I'm not trying to get to a destination. I talked to my mentor yesterday and he goes, just know this, man, you're never going to arrive. There's always, once you get to that next level, there's always going to be something more that you want, something more. So you might as well just enjoy the ride while you have it, while you're here and you're alive.
I love that, mate. And just before we get a bit more sort of specific about accountability and the importance of accountability, I want to just quickly touch on something and just sort of reiterate something you said earlier about the fact that you had to like almost lose your best friend. And it is something you just touched upon just there as well. Like, with this journey of self-development or improvement, whatever you want to title it, I think this whole journey from starting from the bottom and working your way up, even if you don't reach the top, you get halfway, but that sort of advancement upwards, I think on that journey, like you said, it can be very easy, but there are sometimes you've got to do things that you probably don't want to do initially there and then, but it's definitely for the best. For example, like you said, losing your friend. I've also had to do that because the friend was, I was being pulled towards my overall goal, and everything on this side of the fence in business and the podcast was going so smoothly. Like everything was going in my favor. Like I said today, you messaged me the other day and it was like, I literally was thinking I need a sick guest, someone hard hitting, and then you pop up and I'm like, no way. Like literally, what a coincidence, if you want to call it that. But then on the other side, I have had to get rid of some friends because they were pulling me backwards. Whereas on the other side of the fence, I was being pulled towards my overall goal. So if you don't mind, just quickly just reiterate that sort of point about having to let some of the old baggage go, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, you know, because when you got to think about what you want in life, and ultimately your life is your life. You know, I would do this more often in the past when it was challenging for me to take action. I would imagine myself 80 years old, and I imagine myself on my, like, I'm near my death, and I'd think about the life that I lived, and I'd be like, I knew deep down that the life that I was leading towards this life of regret. And I knew that I was heading towards that direction where I look back and I not feel happy about the life that I lived. And at the end of your life, you're going to be the judgment. You're going to be one judging your life. You're going to be the one that's asking yourself, did I live a good life? Or did I hold on to that person longer than I should have? Did I stay at that job longer than I should have? Did I not listen to your gut, right? So like, we only have one shot here. And when you really picture the end, that's when like you build up enough emotional leverage. But with my buddy, it just didn't make sense. Cause every time I remember I was in the car one time and I was talking about awesome things that were going on in my life. And I was saying, and I'm going to this event. I did this. I'm learning that. I just read this book. This is amazing. And I was so excited. And this is my best friend, right? Like you want approval from your best friend and you want to talk to them. And I remember as soon as I finished talking, he didn't acknowledge anything I said. All he started to do was complaining about his life. Yeah. He started complaining, this is going wrong. And my dad did this and all this. And I remember I never felt so just torn. Like, oh my God, like, I felt guilty. I felt guilty for doing what I love and going for what I want to do. And that was really rough, man. Like I had to cut ties with him, and that was not easy. It's not like I just said, Hey, I got to stop hanging out with you. I just stopped answering his phone calls. I couldn't even come face to face with him. So I stopped hanging out with him in like August 2017. And I remember exactly where I was when I first saw his phone call, and the first time I ignored it, where I just hit that side button and I was like, I can't talk to you. And then I didn't return his text for a while. And sometimes I'd text him back. And then just, I couldn't ever be real. And it wasn't until May of 2020. So about 2.5 years later, or 2.75 of a year later, that's when I was like, I got to tell him, I got to go talk to him. I avoided it for so long, but I went to go see him and I told him, I was like, listen, man, I love you. I'm always going to be here for you, but I had to do this. And you know, and he was totally understanding of it. He was totally understanding. Like, yeah, we went separate directions. He wasn't hurt about it, but that was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do.
Mate, when you were saying that, the reason why I laughed is because that's exactly what I've had to do as well. Like, it was one of them. I was talking to this particular friend, and like you said, you just feel a bit like detached. You're talking to them, and you can tell they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can start complaining about something that went wrong in their life, or start talking about something they didn't actually do, but they're saying it to make themselves feel better. And yeah, I definitely felt that detachment. And again, I think it's just sort of the consequence of trying to better yourself, you know. But I do want to dive a bit deeper into exactly what you're doing, because you're doing some powerful stuff, mate. So thank you for that, for just sort of putting that energy out there. But one of the things you're doing is obviously talking about the power of accountability. I just wondered, like, you said you have a mentor. Do you have like an accountability buddy at all? Is the mentor that sort of person you rely on, or do you rely on yourself nowadays?
Yeah, fantastic question, man. So first and foremost, I am not ashamed to admit at all that I am not a self-made man. You know, there's no way I would not be where I am without the help of others. I had to lean on people so many times in my life. And I started off with one mentor. Today, I actually have six and seven. Oh, no, I have six mentors and five of them have seven-figure businesses. I've been very fortunate to be able to do that. And I also run a mastermind with my business partner and we teach you how to do that. But we do that like once or twice a year. What I do, I have one thing that is really awesome is, okay, so when I wanted to start waking up early, because I've tried to wake up early many times in the past.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, to keep it brief, I remember I went to this event, this speaker on stage was like, I run a 5 a.m. call. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I want to wake up at 5 a.m. So I got on the call and I remember thinking, it's still too easy to miss. So then I thought, I'm going to create my own call. So I put something on Instagram like, hey, top CEOs wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing a 5 a.m. accountability call. Like, I would love to have you join. And I had 22 people raise their hand on that Instagram story. I was like, awesome. So I'm sending Zoom links. And like, this is like September of 2019. I'm like, all right, see you there. I started on September 30th. And then 8 people showed up. And then people were coming in. And then there'd be on Sundays was like my least day. It's like I have like one person show up. And then 30 days in, I met my business partner. She lives in London and she took the call international. The call's free, by the way. It's called the Morning Hustlers if you care to join. But the biggest thing is like it's 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is my accountability to wake up early because I want to wake up early because if I wake up early, I get a head start on my day. I feel a lot better about myself. I'm productive. I'm not reactive going into my day. So I'm like, all right, I need accountability for that specifically for waking up. So I have it because if I'm the leader, I can never miss a meeting. So I have like 22 people every single day that's expecting me to show up. I have to be there. And then that's 5 o'clock in the morning. At 6:05 in the morning, have an accountability partner that I check in with every single day. Every day, we don't miss a day. And we set our big three action items for the day. Like, all right, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. This is how my day went yesterday. Also, there's consequences if we don't follow through with what we say we're going to do. And this also tests our integrity as well, because if we don't do what we say we're going to do, number one, that's an automatic 2-hour run. It's pretty militant. It's really intense. So I do not want to do that 2-hour run. And then on top of that, we also send $100. It's so crazy. It's ridiculous. I feel like your true test of character is based on your integrity. Can you speak your word? And you can lie to your person, but to your accountability partner, but you know deep down and your self-esteem takes a hit. And when you realize that, like you're not lying to them, you're lying to yourself. That should eat you up alive even more. So I have accountability at that time. I also had an accountability that I was doing every single day at 2 p.m. that I had a group of people I would do accountability with. And then at night, I have accountability with a couple people from like 4 p.m. till about like 8:30, 9 p.m. where we get on a Zoom call and we do what's called the Pomodoro technique, which is it's 30 minutes of deep work and then 5-minute breaks. And then on that 5-minute break, we just talk, we have fun. And then it's like, all right, let's get back to work. But we do that every day. I love it because we have discussions. We have breakthroughs. It's amazing conversations. And like, I get to work through certain things. So I have like 4, maybe 5 accountability systems set up. Accountability is everything because naturally humans, we're lazy. You know, our brain is not designed to thrive. We have hundreds of thousands year old brain, right? Like our brain is designed to conserve energy as much as possible, because if you took a risk in the olden days or our ancestors are living, that could mean death, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to take risks. We don't want to move forward. So I understand that I'm naturally a lazy person and I need to rely and lean on the people around me. So yeah, I have just strong accountability systems set in place that really allows me to make sure I get done what I got to get done.
No, that is so, so powerful. And I think it's almost the way I'm seeing it, because I've sort of obviously heard of accountability as a word and obviously people sort of mentors and stuff. But the way I see it, it to me, it seems like it's almost like a a new wave of positive energy just like coming over. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on today, in fact, just to sort of spread that idea, plant that seed in somebody, because out of the thousands of people that listen to this, you never know, one person, well, I will for definite, but one other person might say, you know what, why didn't I think of that before, start something themselves. And before you know it, you've got the next Elon Musk or whoever it may be, yeah. You've got them on your hands. Just all it takes is that little switch, right? But one thing I did want to speak about, you mentioned at the start, quite coincidentally, about Tony Robbins and all of those like motivational speakers / people. And you said you went to some of their events, right? How was that? And on top of that, after you say, sorry, this is a loaded question. On top of that, like, how did you find those events? And did you see that dip afterwards when you come away from the event and you think, good, 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 positive energy, positive energy. And then after a week, oh, I'm back to normal again.
Yeah. So first of all, look, man, Tony Robbins's events are insane. Mm. Insane, man. Like, you just get pumped up. It's like a sober rave, because you're like dancing and you're learning. It's a personal development rave. That's what it is. Yeah. You're dancing and you're having fun. You're giving high fives. You're giving hugs. You're giving massages. You're like going deep with people. And there's a huge, huge sense of community. And Tony Robbins is an amazing speaker. You know, here, I want to talk about the power of storytelling, first of all, because storytelling is probably one of the most influential tools you have in your arsenal to influence people. Tony Robbins will be on stage for like an hour and a half telling one story, and people will be riveted just there with him the entire time. It's one story, an hour and a half. What a master at storytelling and persuasion. So I highly recommend his Unleash the Power Within event. And then what happened is, when you attend Tony Robbins event, you can actually work his events for free after that.
Wow.
So I worked another event and then I met amazing people who traveled the world. I met this one guy who hitchhiked like 8 hours up going up north. I'm like, I was like, people still hitchhike like that? That works. Like what the heck? And then I remember, I kept running into people who took Tony's other programs, and I was like, the Tony's signature program is called Day with Destiny, and that's $5,000. And you can actually watch the Netflix special on that called I'm Not Your Guru. And I kept saying, look, how is that? Like, I'm thinking about doing it. And everybody said the same answer. Everybody kept saying the same answer, and they say it the same way. They would go like this. I'm like, how was Day with Destiny? And they just go, it's the best event I've ever been to in my life. And I'll be like, whoa, why, how come I keep getting the same response? Everybody keeps saying the same thing. It's the best event I've ever been to in my life. It's life-changing. I'm like, all right, let's go. And the way I was introduced to Tony Robbins was, so I, back in, after I graduated from high school, I was going to community college, and I failed my driver's test 3 times. So my brother-in-law would have to take me to school. And my brother-in-law is a CEO, right? And on the way to school, he would actually be playing Tony Robbins' Personal Power 2 tapes in the car. Wow. But I wasn't ready. I wouldn't listen. Mm. And it wasn't until I hit my depression where I was like, oh, man, let me listen to those tapes. And then like in 2015, I remember for my birthday present, he's like, all right, I just want you to pay half of the ticket so you have some investment in there. And we're going to go to my gift to you for your birthday is Tony Robbins event. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And yeah. I was able to save up and I went and just completely – I love it so much. The community, the atmosphere, just like the people you meet, everybody's like so friendly. They want to meet you, and God, I miss it. I miss it.
So your eyes, you know, at the start of this, when you were talking about psychedelics, your eyes went a bit glary, and the same thing happened just then. You sort of like, I could see everything like blowing up in your mind once again. It definitely sounds like a powerful experience. But did you have that that downfall? It seems like you was just constantly on a high, but did you ever have that dip? Or
many times. So I one thing that I'm actually very grateful that I've done was, on the last day of the first Tony Robbins event I went to, on the very last day when I got home, I remember I was so emotional. I was crying in my car. And I was like, I got to get this out of me. So I started journaling. And that was the very first time I journaled. And then after that, I started journaling over, like, I've been journaling since 2015. And I have like 6 journals of just like my day to day, right? So a month or two ago, I was going through those journals. Like, let me see with the progress I made in my life so far. What was life like before? What's the differences that I see? And it was interesting just going through those Tony Robbins, like that time period. And I thought I was on top of the world for like 2 months. I was only on top of the world for like 2 weeks. I didn't know, but I was like alive. And I definitely felt that dip. And that's why I felt like, oh, like how can I make that permanent? I want to make that my default. I want to live like that every single day. So I felt like there's information out there. So that's why I kept going to event after event. I'd always leave pumped up, and then I'd hit that dip. And to talk about, accountability, today, whenever I purchase a course, like I finished it. Before, I'd have so many unfinished courses. And a big reason why I'm able to finish my courses, and or if I go to an event, nowadays all events are online and stuff, but I'm still going to events and paying for training still. Mm-hmm. I follow through till its completion, and I keep the momentum going because I have accountability in place, because inevitably it always happens. Mm-hmm. Like, emotion is so fickle, right? Like, you're gonna feel pumped up, and inevitably, like my biggest mistake was thinking, how can I make this permanent when it's not going to be permanent? And the thing that's permanent is like, all right, well, how can I set my life up to where once that's over, when that emotion fades, how can I set my life up and have systems in place so that I can still keep going even though I don't have those emotions still?
Mate, that is some powerful stuff. I've literally got so many questions that I could just boom, 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 fire off and talk for hours, but I'm conscious of your time as well.
No, I have as much time as you want. So brilliant, I'm having brilliant. A fantastic time. So
yeah,
ask away.
No, same. I do want to definitely try out a Tony Robbins sort of thing. And I'm sort of glad you came on, because that's just reinforced my want to go and do it. I was always wary of that dip, but like you said, if you know how to sort of control that dip, it makes things a lot easier. But one thing I did want to ask is, and it's almost a rhetorical question, because I can see how easy it is, but how easy and how quickly can somebody change their life around? So if someone's got to this, we're like 40 minutes in now, almost to the end, if someone's got to this point in the podcast and they're not making notes and that they don't feel ready to make the jump, I don't know what we can do to help them, because I am so ready to smash the rest of my day. But yeah, how easy is it for them to just get started today and make a change?
All right, awesome. That's a fantastic question, man. Thank you for asking that. So a big one is, look, there's no change that's going to be made in the long term without emotional leverage. So when I go back and I look at my life and like my depression that I had, right, where I finally, when I went and listened to that Tony Robbins tapes, I listened to Tony Robbins before I actually took action. But it wasn't until I was going through that breakup, it wasn't until I didn't know what I wanted to do and my friends were going to university and all that stuff, and I was just, my life was in shambles. That was when I was like, I just need a change. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I could have kept numbing myself, like, you know, just like finding more ways like alcohol or just keep distracting myself, but I had to deal with it. I had to face it head on. Again, this goes back to the distractions, because if you don't face the stuff that's wrong in your life, because we know it in the back of our head, like, no, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. But you have to deal with it, because the more you let that stuff pile on, it's scary. It's scary, scary. But the more you let it pile on, the more you see, oh, I don't like this part of my life. I don't like that part. I don't like this part of me. I wish this was different. I wish that. Listen, all these things pile up. And now these are what create what MJ DeMarco calls a fuck this event, where in your life, where things are just so messed up, where you just think, fuck this. I need to change. I'm ready to change. And understanding that there's not going to be massive change without emotional leverage. You have to have a strong reason why. We do things for two reasons, either to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. But we will often do more to avoid pain than we ever will do to gain pleasure. So if we are in just a really painful state, if we sit with ourselves and see all of our insecurities and we see everything that's messed up and we sit with that and we really let it boil in, then like, you're like, there's so much pain there. You're like, I just don't want to be here. What can I do to get away from this? Like, as much as I possibly can. I hate this here. I hate it here. And then with that emotional leverage, it builds up. You start looking for solutions. Like, how can I, like, what do I need to do to escape this? And that's that I can improve on my life. And I've had that event a couple times in my life, like with the depression, with like when I hit 23, I was like, yo, I keep doing the same thing. I keep learning and then fizzling out. What I have to do? I got, dude, like I was working part-time at a kickboxing studio. I got a job working overnight, like putting up signs, getting out of a pickup truck, wearing like an orange vest and hammering in stakes in the ground and putting signs up for new homes, like a graveyard shift. And I actually ended up having to quit that because like it was a very dangerous job. And I had to find another job where I was working in sales and I had to make it happen. And that job was so tough. Like it was so many times where I was going to be broken. And it was just so mentally taxing every day. I remember I'd go come home from work and my mom would say, how was work? And 5 out of 7 times I'd always say it was tough.
Mm.
And there'd be so many days where I would drive home with the radio turned off because I just was like so down. And I was so sick of where I was living. I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to pay for that boot camp. I don't care. I want that so bad because I know it's going to change my life. And it did. I'm so glad I did it. But the biggest thing here is you got to go back. You have to face yourself. Like you have to put yourself in a situation where if you're at home, go find a hotel. You don't even have to find a hotel. Just wake up early and just sit with yourself for like 30 minutes to an hour and don't distract yourself. Let everything pile in. Look at yourself in the mirror. See why everything sucks. If you listen to David Goggins' This Can't Hurt Me book, like it's just so much emotional leverage for him to feel like I have no choice but to change. But until you get to that point, it's going to be really tough for you to actually take action long-term because again, like we always want to take the path of least resistance. If there's something easy, then we'll do it. And we have to have a super, super strong why and so much pain that's going to move us forward.
Yeah, you're so right as well. It's all about picturing where you actually want to be and reverse engineering the steps and saying, okay, this path is a lot harder, but I'd rather be on the beach enjoying life when I'm this age rather than almost stuck in the same position I am when I'm 80 or whatever. So yeah, that's definitely important, guys. So everyone listening, this is powerful. But one of the things I was thinking of just then was imagining each friendship. If you say you have a friend, imagine if you or that your friend makes the decision to say, okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort to change my life and I'm going to bring my friend in as well and change their life. And like you said, accountability buddies, if you both bounce off each other, imagine where you can get to in even a week's time, a month's time. And I'm talking from experience. A day has changed my whole life. One day I made a decision and boom, by the come the end of the day, I've changed my whole life around. So yeah, imagine this is more for everyone listening. Just imagine you just make that decision, boom. Next thing you know, a few weeks later, you've made it, you know?
You really can actually, yeah. And think about just how about one day you decided to run a podcast, right? You made that decision one day. How much has that changed your life, right? It's like one decision one day and then boom, you're having amazing conversations. You learn so much, you network with amazing people. So I know I kind of went a roundabout way of answering that, but you literally can make the decision today to make the change. And you may not see results from that decision right away. But like over maybe 3 months, you're like, oh man, because I decided to do that one day, like this is where I am. But it takes time to go back and reflect on that. So on a micro scale, you can do that. Like you can literally change. Like the other day I was like, I'm tired of like being like not working out so much. So like now I'm like on a streak of doing yoga every day, which I feel fantastic because of that. But yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about sort of making that decision. In a few months, you'll be able to sit and look back and notice the changes. You might not notice them straight away. But talking about looking forward, what is next for you then? One of my final questions. I'm really interested to find out sort of what your plan is, whether that's in the next few months, next few years. What's next for you?
Beautiful, man. So it's always been my dream since I was a kid to speak on stages in front of people. So that's why I'm like, I'm really, really grateful that I'm on your podcast because I'm really making an impact and get to help people that I wouldn't have reached on my own. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you for having me on. That's the biggest thing is I want to be able to travel the world and speak on stages and help people, you know, resolve these different things because like, man, like so many, like four out of five of my middle school friends dropped out of high school. And I wasn't around so much. Like, I'm just so lucky to be who I am and where I am. It doesn't pan out like this for everybody. And I have been given these like keys, these whatever secrets, whatever you want to say, like that really helped me get to where I am. And it's like, wait a second. It would be a massive disservice to everybody if I just kept this to myself, or if I didn't at least help out and help other people realize, like, you can truly live the life that you want to live. You can do what you want. Like, here I am on your podcast, man. Like, right now, I'm literally living my dream right now. I'm doing it right now, being able to impact lives right here in the moment. That's incredible. So that's what it is long-term, and traveling with my business partner and doing an amazing thing with my friends. Right now where I'm at, I am, you know, it's interesting. Here's the interesting thing for business is asking your audience, what is it that they want? Cause I've been creating things. I'm like, oh, I think they would like this, and I'm really good at this. And then I throw it out there, and then it's like crickets. And then I kept hearing people say, hey, Greg, how do I become a better storyteller? How do I become this? And I'm like, what? Like, who would like to be a better storyteller? And like, so many people are like, I would love to be a better storyteller. Like, can you teach me? I'm like, what the heck? That's like totally opposite of like the direction I was going. I'm like, well, if you guys want that, I'll give it to you. So right now I'm putting together a storytelling workshop just to teach, you know, my audience and help out and helping people influence through telling stories. And I'm also looking, the big thing I want to do this year, there's two big things. Number one, make it down to Costa Rica to do ayahuasca, a ceremony. And then number two is I want to make it out to London and hang out with my business partner in September. Hopefully I can make both of those things happen.
That sounds sick, mate. I'm also in London as well, so maybe I might stalk you when you're in London, come and find you.
Dude, let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's meet up, man.
Let's do it. I might come to Costa Rica one day, but I don't think I'm brave enough just yet. But one of the final things I wanted to say, it's a hard-hitting question, but it's one I ask all my guests. What do you want your legacy to be?
Ooh, oh man, that's a great question. You know, here's the thing I've been thinking about a lot. I've been thinking about if I was dead right now and I went and people were at my funeral, like, I want people to feel like, you know what? My life was just so much better because Greg was around. Wow. Like, my life was just like, man, he added so much to my life. He was such a big impact for me. And I really want to be known as a giving and loving person and someone who, whenever you spoke to me, it was positive emotions. We had a great time. We laughed and we talked about some amazing things, and I was there for you. I supported you. And like, that's really what I want to be remembered for, man. I just want to be remembered as a good person and someone who did their best and somebody who also want to be an inspiration, you know, because we have these fears like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Cause I just shared with you what I want to do, which is travel the world and speak on stage. But let's rewind back to 2015. I remember I wanted that, but I was so, so afraid to say that. I was terrified. Like, it was like a big monster in the back of my head. Like, I don't even know if I can do that. And I have the full belief that I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. And what I want to do is I want to help give people that inspiration as well. We have these fears and we're like, I don't know if I can do that. And like, should I do that? And we're too scared. Like, I want to help unlock that for other people where they go for what they want and they're living their dream and they're going for the number one thing that they want to do. And it's just like a grand adventure. So when they get to the end of their life, they're like, man, that was incredible. Like, they don't have the regret of like, I wish I did this. I'm like, I did it. I went out and I made it happen. Or at least I tried and I learned and I met these people. So the biggest thing is I want to help unlock that for other people, give people the belief that they can do it as well. And just give as much value as I possibly can, because I'm not here forever, right? None of us are. It's very low probability that I'm the world's first immortal. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Mate, honestly, that is so sick. And it like I said at the beginning, it's so powerful. And I feel like you may realize it or not, but it definitely, to me, just this is the first time we spoke properly, it definitely feels like you're a lot more powerful than you think in terms of the impact you're sort of having and the message you're bringing and everything like that. So I'd like to say, firstly, thank you for that. And secondly, thank you for coming on today. The floor is now yours. So if there's a final message or you'd like to tell everyone where to find you on social media or what they should do, please do let them know now.
First of all, I just want to say again, thank you, Ted. I had such an amazing time on here. For those of you who maybe it's challenging for you to follow through with what you want to follow through with. Maybe it's hard for you to keep your word to yourself. Maybe you're inconsistent with your actions like I was before. I actually created this course called The Foundations of Follow Through. I'm going to sell it eventually for $497, but you can actually have it for free right now. You can grab that. You can go to morninghustlers.com/gift. It's a free course, and it's some amazing things on how I was able to make it so I can take action very consistently and make things happen. You can also find me on Instagram at Greg Santos, GregSantos. That's where you can message me and love to hear some takeaways you got from this podcast, and even takeaways you got from the digital course as well. And I hope it really makes an impact in your life. And again, thank you, Ted. I really appreciate you having me here today, my man.
No, brilliant, mate. It's been a pleasure. I'll put all your links and descriptions in the box below on whatever platform this may be on. I will actually do it for season one. I always said I'd do it and I always forget. So season two, I will be putting all the social media handles and everything else in the description, I promise. And Greg, you can be my accountability buddy for that. So yeah, it's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my man.
If only they knew, the hub for young business minds.